Coming events cast their shadows before. This is an old and true saying. And it is also a proven fact that in biblical history, this has invariably been the case. Hundreds of prophecies have been fulfilled, and with such precise accuracy that the unbelieving critics of the Bible have sought to discredit the prophecy and the prophet, and allege that it must have been written as history by a historian. But this, thank God, is not the case. The Lord Jesus himself refers to one of the prophets, Daniel of the Old Testament, as Daniel the prophet, not as Daniel the historian. And the events of his prophecy are so amazingly accurate that we notice that the events transpired right to the very letter of the prophetic utterance. And certainly we can be assured that what else has been prophesied, which yet remains to be fulfilled, shall be accomplished. Be assured of this, beloved friend, that everything that God has spoken about shall come to pass. It's true in connection not only with Daniel, but with every part of the Word of God. Now, many scriptures are yet to be fulfilled. In regards to these expected events, we can say that they are casting their shadows before our very eyes. They appear as signs in their rapid development and in the promise of their imminent fulfillment. Now, one such event that I want to talk about today is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, the blessed coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul refers it to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. He is the great God. He is coming again. He is the one that appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was here. According to prophecy, he came. He came to Bethlehem. He went to Calvary. He died for sin. He took your place as a substitute. In resurrection, he arose triumphant over death, over hell, over the grave, over sin, over Satan, and he lives. A risen, glorified Savior, he lives at the right hand of God. And he is the one who is coming again. Now you'll notice that the very appearances of the many, many signs that Jesus himself spoke of that would accompany his second return are clearly being seen on every hand today. I would like that you would go with me to the 24th of Matthew, where we shall just point out a few of these signs which the Lord himself speaks of. Now I am aware that the Lord Jesus, in this 24th of Matthew, is speaking to his Jewish disciples. And also that the full application of this chapter is to the Jewish remnant of the coming day, the future remnant of Israel, believing Israel. And also that he's speaking of the conditions that are to exist during that period of time when the remnant will be preserved through the Great Tribulation. The tribulation is the period of time yet to come. The events of that period are yet to be fulfilled. Now, when I speak of this period of tribulation, I speak of what is clearly marked out for us in the Word of God, and especially in the prophecy of Daniel. In that 9th chapter, where he writes a prophecy that has to do with 490 years of Israel's history. And you know, he prophesied before those 490 years started. And 483 of those years have been fulfilled, dear friend. They have transpired right to the letter, right to the day. The 483 years fulfilled terminated with the crucifixion of Christ. This event, this rejection on the part of the nation of their Messiah, set Israel aside. It stopped the clock of prophecy of the 490 years. What happened? Well, then God began to work according to his eternal purpose to save the individual Jew and believer, to link them in one body by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, to form what is known as the church. And for over 1900 years, God has been forming the church, his body. Jew and Gentile who believe are members of this body. The destiny of the church is heavenly, and we await the time when Christ himself, as the bridegroom, shall come for the church, his bride. He shall come to the air. He shall take his church to be with himself. He shall raise from the dead those saints who have died, and all shall meet him in the air. That event is near at hand. That event will usher in the beginning of the 7-year period of great tribulation. Tribulation for whom? Tribulation for the unbelieving Israelitish nation. Israel has returned to the land. Oh, how near we must be to the return then of Christ. Israel is going to be judged before their unbelief. Apostate Israel today, building up the land in unbelief, yet God allowing it. And God will see to it that he will have a remnant preserved through this 7-year period to accept him when he comes at the end of that 7-year period of tribulation. For he is coming back to the earth. He is coming with his saints to execute judgment upon all the ungodly. Apostate Christendom will be judged. Apostate Israel will be judged. And then those who have never heard the gospel of the grace of God will have opportunity to accept him as Messiah, as King, as Savior, and be born again for earthly blessing. Now, beloved friend, the time of the Lord's second coming is to be accompanied by many signs. The time shall be manifested as that which the Lord speaks of here in 5 distinct signs, which I would very simply and briefly point out to you. The sign that his coming is near is proven, first of all, by the religious sign that we see on every hand. When the disciples said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming?" Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." The first sign that we notice here is a sign that Christ will be set aside more and more and replaced by man. Oh, how this is true today, more than ever before. Now we know that in the time of the tribulation, there will be one man, one Antichrist, a Jew, who will set himself up in the temple that Israel's going to rebuild and will declare that he is God and will demand that he should be worshipped. Now, that is true. But the way is being paved today. The shadow of this is being seen on every hand in the denial of Christ in all the false isms of the day. Beloved listener, the Lord Jesus Christ is the man of Galilee. That's true. But I want you to know that he is also the Christ of the Bible, who is the Son of God. And the Son of God is God manifest in flesh. And where this is denied, you have the spirit of Antichrist. You have Christ dishonored. Oh, God grant that you today, the listener, have scriptural thoughts concerning the Lord Jesus, because upon this determines your eternal welfare. Next, you'll notice that we have spoken of in the next verses a political sign. "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars," Jesus goes on to say. "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." Well, how we see this today more than ever. How distressing are the conditions amongst the nations. There's political unrest in this land of ours and throughout the whole world. It is universal. There is an increasing in subjection to authority. There is a disregard for law and order. There is war. There are rumors of wars, unrest. And oh, how many homes in this land are feeling the effects of that war. How sad to think of it. And when we think of the unrest in the Middle East, yea, in every part of this globe, we can certainly see the signs of the coming of Christ being near at hand, the rising of anarchy, the unrest amongst nations and in the hearts of men, men's hearts failing them for fear. This is a sign, I'm sure, my listener can clearly discern. Next, you will notice, there is the natural sign the Lord Jesus refers to when he says, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. We notice on every hand that there is an increasing disturbance even in nature. Strange things happening. There are earthquakes more numerous than ever before. There are pestilences that break out. One seems to be conquered and another rises. And there is a need today, it seems, for more spraying even amongst the crops than ever before. And certainly, even though this is a land of great agriculture, throughout the whole world there is hunger. There is famine in many places. And even in this country, those who take polls tell us that there are millions that go to bed hungry every night. But in any case, we have this general condition. Even with all man's ingenuity, we have still the manifestation of this sign of nature being distressed and upset, and it is because of man's sin. Now, another sign that we want to notice is the Jewish sign. Oh, that is a sign. You notice in verse 32, the Lord says, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Now, I want you to notice this very carefully. The fig tree is a clear symbol of Israel as a nation. And the putting forth of leaves suggests the activity of Israel as a nation. Now, mind you this, 20 years and Israel has been established as a nation in the land for 20 years. Think of it. This is an amazing sign. And those who lived, say, 40 years ago amongst the people of God that studied prophecy thought that the signs were so clear for the coming of Christ near at hand, and the activity amongst Israel at that time in the Zionist movement was great. But notice, Israel now is a nation in the land for 20 years. Oh, the time is drawing near for the coming of Christ. Ye know, it says here. It's one of the things we can discern clearly. Ye know that summer is nigh. Now, what is summer? Summertime speaks of that time of reign over the earth when Christ will reign supreme, when he will bring peace and righteousness to this earth, and for 1,000 years, for the millennium, he will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, and the Christians today will reign with him over the earth. Israel, the remnant of Israel, the remnant that will be preserved through the 7-year period of great tribulation, shall be prepared in their hearts, so that when he appears to them at the end of the 7-year period, they shall say, what are these wounds in thy hands and thy feet? He say, they are those that I received in the house of my friends. And what effect will it have upon them? They will repent. They will mourn to think that their nation had rejected him when he was here. They will repent, and they will accept him as their Messiah, their King, and be born again for earthly blessing. This Jewish sign is a tremendous sign. It's so clear. Open your eyes and see it. The coming of the Lord, friend, is indeed drawing nigh. But one thing more. The Lord refers to the moral sign. He says here that iniquity shall abound. I need not refer much to this. We have only to read the paper, to notice the news on every hand, how that violence and corruption fill the earth. And the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Iniquity is running rampant. There's no respect for the moral law of God. There is a condition of man being a law unto himself and setting aside what God has established for man's well-being. There's corruption, there's immorality. Corruption in every realm of society. And violence, oh, some know only too well what this means. Oh, God, grant that you will be awakened to see that indeed the coming of the Lord is near at hand. What shall you do? Well, in the 44th verse, the Lord Jesus says, therefore, be ye ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What can you do to be ready? Oh, I trust with all my heart that you are concerned about being ready when Jesus comes, because what's going to happen is that only those who are ready will Jesus take out of this world to be saved, to be in heaven with himself. If you are not saved, if you've not been born again, and when Jesus comes, you're left behind, it'll be to go through the awful judgments of the tribulation, and then to lose your life in death, and then to be cast into eternal hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the truth of Scripture in connection with your responsibility in relationship to God. To be ready means to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It means to be born again. Receive him as your Savior, and you receive everlasting life. It means to have your sins forgiven. The Lord says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The Savior died for you, friend, that you might be saved for an eternal heaven with himself. You can be ready right this very moment. If you will just bow in simple faith to him, own that you are a sinner, and thank him and accept him as the one who died for you at Calvary and rose again. He's the living Savior. Receive him today. Trust him now and be saved and ready when Jesus comes.